The following audiobooks contain AI-generated content and may contain errors. This audiobook presentation presents Small Business Decisions, a practical MBA for cash flow, pricing, and growth. Topic introduction. The shop is finally quiet. The lights over the workbench are still on, but the front door is locked. The phone has stopped ringing, and the last customer has gone home. In the stillness, the owner stands over a stack of invoices and a half-finished to-do list, trying to answer a question that never seems to go away. Should the business hire another technician, raise prices, buy new equipment, or pour more money into marketing? Each option could help. Each option could hurt. And because the answer affects payroll, rent, supplier payments, and the owner's own family income, the decision never feels abstract. It feels immediate. This is the daily reality of small business ownership across the world. A local service company, a storefront, a repair shop, a clinic, a contractor, a cafe, all of them live close to the edge of timing. A strong week can be followed by a weak one. A good month on paper can still leave the bank account thin. A customer who says, "We will pay you soon," may still be months away from paying. The owner is expected to know whether the business can absorb a new hire, survive a slow season, or take on a new piece of machinery without putting the whole operation at risk. That pressure builds quietly, then all at once. This book begins from a simple but demanding premise. You do not need a corporate headquarters or a graduate degree to use serious business thinking. You need a repeatable way to make better choices under uncertainty. That means learning to slow down just enough to name the decision, estimate the trade-offs, compare the options, test what happens if things go wrong, and then review the result later. In other words, you need a small business version of the business school toolkit, stripped of jargon and scaled to real life. At the center of that toolkit is a shift in mindset. Many owners are taught, by necessity, to trust instinct. And instinct matters. It is built from experience, local knowledge, and thousands of small observations a spreadsheet cannot see. But instinct alone can be noisy. Fatigue distorts it. Fear distorts it. Hope distorts it. A busy week can make a weak idea look good. A bad month can make a good opportunity look impossible. The challenge is not to abandon intuition, but to pair it with structure so decisions become clearer, more durable, and easier to defend. One of the first ideas the listener will meet is cash flow. Cash flow is not the same thing as profit. Profit is what the business earns on paper. Cash flow is what actually moves in and out of the bank account. That difference sounds small until a profitable business cannot make payroll, because customers have not paid yet, or because inventory was bought too early, or because a marketing push created demand faster than the business could collect cash. Closely related is the cash conversion cycle, a practical way of asking how long money stays trapped in inventory, invoices, and delayed payments before it returns to the business as usable cash. For a small operation, that timing can be the difference between breathing room and crisis. From there, the book turns to the logic of time itself. A dollar today is not the same as a dollar later, because money in hand can be used now to pay debt, buy inventory, or fund growth. That is the time value of money, one of the quiet foundations of modern decision-making. Once that idea is clear, other terms begin to make sense. Discounted cash flow means translating future money back into today's terms, so different projects can be compared fairly. Net present value means asking whether a project creates real wealth after accounting for timing, risk, and cost. These are not abstract classroom ideas here. They become practical tools for deciding whether a van, a machine, a remodel, or a software system is likely to strengthen the business or strain it. The book also looks beyond the wall of the shop and into the market. Customers do not arrive by accident. They move through stages of awareness, interest, contact, purchase, repeat business, and referral. That path is often described as a funnel, but here it is treated as a working owner's map of demand. Along the way, two more terms matter. Customer acquisition cost is what it takes to win a new customer. Customer lifetime value is what that customer is likely to contribute over the whole relationship. When those numbers are tracked well, a business can see whether it is spending money to build real growth or merely buying activity that does not last.
And then there is competition. Local markets are not static. Prices move, promotions spread. Competitors copy successful ideas or counter them. A small business owner does not need a theory textbook to feel that pressure, but understanding the basic logic helps. Game theory, in plain terms, is the study of how one decision changes when another decision maker is reacting at the same time. In a local market, that can mean the difference between a smart expansion and a costly price war. Knowing how to think about likely responses can keep an owner from stepping into a trap that looks profitable at first glance and destructive a few weeks later.
What ties all of this together is a single practical habit: turning scattered owner knowledge into a one-page decision dossier. That page is meant to collect the important facts, the unknowns, the expected cash effects, the customer numbers, and the most likely competitive response in one place. It is not about making business feel more bureaucratic. It is about making the next decision less emotional, less vague, and less lonely. It gives the owner a place to think before committing money, time, or reputation.
This audiobook does not promise certainty. No serious business tool can do that. What it does promise is a clearer way to think. By the time the listener finishes, the familiar pressures of owning a local business will look different. The stack of invoices will still be there. The staffing question will still be there. The next equipment choice will still be there. But they will no longer feel like mysterious tests of intuition. They will look like decisions that can be named, measured, stress-tested, and improved.
And that is the real invitation at the start of this journey. Not to become a different kind of owner, but to become a more structured one, able to see the business more clearly while the work is still unfolding. End of introduction. Imagine standing in your shop long after the doors lock for the evening. You stare at a stack of invoices, wondering whether to hire another technician or purchase a new piece of machinery. Every week, you face high-stakes choices about pricing, staffing, equipment, and marketing. You must make these choices under intense time pressure, often with incomplete information. It is a lonely, stressful place to navigate, especially when these decisions dictate your financial livelihood and the security of your family. This pressure is the daily reality of local business ownership across the globe. The weight of every operational path rests solely on your shoulders. You may feel forced to choose between moving quickly to survive or moving slowly to analyze, which easily leads to mental exhaustion. The temptation to make impulsive choices just to clear your desk is strong. Yet the consequences of a misstep are immediate and personal, with no corporate cushion to break your fall. The promise of a small business master of business administration is not about earning a prestigious credential to hang on a wall. It is not a dry, theoretical academic exercise. Instead, it offers a compact, highly practical toolkit. This toolkit helps you clarify everyday trade-offs, optimize your operations, and protect your hard-earned capital. While this guidance is educational and does not replace professional financial advice, it provides a structured framework for your decision-making. This is general information, not personalized advice. You do not need to sit through years of graduate lectures to gain command of your daily operations. There is no need to master advanced statistical software or memorize complex multinational corporate case studies. You simply need a structured, reliable way to evaluate the choices you make every single week. This practical guide brings the analytical tools of big business down to a human scale that you can apply tomorrow morning. Moving your business from a state of constant, reactive survival to predictable, sustainable growth requires a fundamental shift. You must move away from relying purely on gut feel and instead practice structured judgment. Your intuition as an owner is incredibly valuable. It is built on years of direct customer interactions, sleepless nights, and local market experience. However, you should treat intuition as a single input rather than the entire decision-making process. When you rely solely on your feelings, you invite cognitive biases, temporary fatigue, and fleeting emotions to steer your company. Combining your natural market instincts with systematic frameworks makes your choices repeatable, defendable, and far less stressful for both you and your team. Local service and brick-and-mortar businesses operate under unique, compounding structural pressures. Larger, well-funded corporations rarely have to navigate these issues. You must constantly manage intense seasonal demand shifts, sudden labor bottlenecks, complex inventory timing, and chronic receivables delays. Furthermore, you likely operate with limited cash buffers. A single delayed payment from a major customer or a brief dip in local foot traffic can disrupt your entire weekly schedule. When these pressures hit all at once, they create a chaotic environment. In this chaos, clear, long-term thinking becomes extremely difficult. Recognizing these structural realities as inherent features of your business model, rather than personal failures, is the first step. It allows you to build a resilient business that can withstand economic storms. To bring order to this operational chaos, you can implement a reliable six-step decision loop in your weekly management routine. A corporate management manual published in 2023 in the United States highlights how these steps build systematic clarity. First, you clearly choose and define the specific decision you need to analyze, isolating it from other operational distractions. Second, you estimate the key financial and operational drivers that will influence the outcome, gathering your best available data. Third, you compare your available options side by side using consistent, objective metrics. Fourth, you stress test your core assumptions to see what happens to your cash reserves if things do not go as planned. Fifth, you make the final decision with confidence and clarity. Finally, you systematically learn from the actual outcomes to improve your next choice. This structured loop turns decision-making from an anxious gamble into a deliberate, repeatable process. Within this framework, you must define your decision quality by the robustness of your evaluation process. Do not judge it by speed alone or by whether a single outcome happens to go well. It is a common and dangerous trap to judge a decision solely by its immediate result. If you make a reckless, uncalculated choice that happens to turn out well due to pure luck, that does not make it a good decision. True decision quality means you built an evaluation process that consistently yields positive results over the long run. This process protects your business from the inevitable volatility of the local market. By focusing on the process rather than the immediate outcome, you build a business designed to last. A critical part of improving your decision quality is learning to distinguish clearly between observed historical facts and forward-looking estimates. Last month's sales figures, your actual payroll records, and paid utility bills are unchangeable historical facts. In contrast, next quarter's customer demand, your future technician capacity, or the conversion rate of a new advertising campaign are forward-looking estimates. When you mix these two types of data without realizing it, you risk building your business plans on unstable, speculative foundations. Keeping them separate allows you to see your current reality clearly. You can then plan for the future with healthy skepticism. This habit ensures your growth projections are grounded in operational capacity rather than wishful thinking. To bridge the gap between your scattered owner knowledge and repeatable decision-making, you can use a simple one-page qualitative decision dossier. This document acts as a central repository for your thoughts. It forces you to write down your core assumptions in one structured place. The dossier serves as a visual guide that keeps your reasoning clean, transparent, and accessible to your business partners, key managers, or lenders. By strictly keeping this dossier to a single page, you ensure that the evaluation process remains fast. It stays practical enough to actually use during a busy work week, preventing you from getting bogged down in unnecessary paperwork. You can apply this qualitative dossier to almost any everyday operational decision you face. It is highly effective for planning price changes, adjusting service capacity, launching local promotions, or deciding whether to extend your hours of operation. It is equally valuable when you are evaluating whether to hire a new front desk assistant, invest in a new software platform, or purchase a small piece of field equipment. Writing down the trade-offs on a single sheet of paper takes only a few minutes. This simple exercise prevents costly blind spots. It ensures you are not making permanent commitments based on temporary emotions. To master the financial side of your business, you must first master the fundamental difference between accounting profit and cash flow. Accounting profit measures revenue when you earn it. This timing is often very different from when you actually collect the cash. Your business can easily look highly profitable on your profit and loss statement, while your actual bank account is completely empty. This gap occurs because standard accounting rules record sales when the service is delivered or the product is sold, not when the customer invoice is paid. Understanding this core distinction is your first and most critical step toward true financial survival and peace of mind. Managing your daily cash flow requires you to systematically track both cash inflows and cash outflows in your operations. Your cash inflows primarily come from customer receipts, collections on outstanding invoices, and occasionally from business loans or owner capital injections. Your cash outflows include vendor payments, payroll, rent, loan repayments, taxes, inventory purchases, unexpected equipment repairs, and your own personal owner draws. Keeping a close, forward-looking eye on these movements prevents sudden, painful cash shortages. These gaps can stall your operations and damage your reputation with suppliers and employees. This constant movement of funds brings us to the time value of money. This is the foundational principle explaining why a dollar today is worth more than a dollar you receive in the future. When your business capital is scarce or your outstanding debt is costly, a dollar in hand right now is exceptionally valuable. You can use it to pay down high-interest liabilities or invest in immediate inventory. Waiting weeks or months for a customer to pay reduces the actual utility and value of that money to your business. You must factor this inherent delay into every contract, every quote, and every payment term you offer. Closely linked to the timing of your money is the concept of opportunity cost. This represents the benefit you lose when you commit your limited resources to one specific path. When you spend your capital, labor, or your own limited attention on one project, you cannot use those same resources for the next best alternative. Every choice you make to pursue a new marketing campaign or buy a specific machine is a silent rejection of another potentially profitable option. Weighing these hidden, competing trade-offs is what separates average managers from highly successful owners. Consider, for example, the natural lag between your upfront marketing spend and the eventual cash collection from your new customers. This delay is particularly severe in appointment-based, seasonal, or invoice-based local businesses. You might spend thousands of dollars on advertising in January. However, due to scheduling and billing cycles, you may not see the actual cash from those clients until April. If you do not plan for this cash flow lag, successful marketing campaigns can actually push your business into a severe cash crisis. This can leave you unable to cover payroll, despite experiencing a sudden surge in customer bookings. To evaluate your overall business health and performance, you must track three compact measures: gross margin, operating margin, and net margin. Gross margin shows the direct profitability of your core service or product before overhead. Operating margin includes your fixed costs, like rent and utilities. Meanwhile, net margin reveals what is actually left over after all expenses, interest, and taxes are paid. Comparing these three margins over time helps you quickly spot where your profitability is leaking. It shows exactly where your costs are growing out of control. While these margins vary significantly by sector, several broad industry benchmarks can help guide your expectations. They highlight potential areas of improvement. For instance, across a wide variety of enterprises, corporate taxation studies compiled in the United States in 2024 show an average gross margin of around 36.5%. Meanwhile, common net profit margins for healthy, small enterprises typically range between 7 and 10%. Some broad sector evaluations put the average net margin across all firms at approximately 8.5%. You should treat these figures as broad, helpful guideposts rather than universal, rigid targets for your specific local market. To measure how efficiently your business is utilizing its limited working capital, you must calculate your cash conversion cycle. Retail banking reports from 2024 define this cycle as your days inventory outstanding plus your days sales outstanding minus your days payables outstanding. In simple, practical terms, this measures how many days it takes for a single dollar spent on inventory to flow back into your business bank account. The longer this cycle takes, the more of your hard-earned capital remains trapped and completely unusable. Shortening your cash conversion cycle is one of the fastest and most effective ways to free up trapped capital without taking on expensive debt. You can achieve this by speeding up your customer receivables collection. You might use automated reminders or offer flexible payment options. Additionally, managing your inventory levels more tightly helps you avoid excess stock. Finally, you can negotiate more deliberate, extended payment terms with your key suppliers. Every single day you shave off this cycle is cash immediately returned to your business to fund operations or growth. To spot potential cash shortfalls long before they become emergencies, you must implement month-by-month cash forecasting. Public agency development reports from 2025 frame cash flow as being all about timing. Looking at a simple, high-level annual budget is not enough to protect you from the sharp dips of seasonal demand. By mapping out your cash flow month by month, you can easily anticipate dry spells. This allows you to adjust your spending, secure a business line of credit, or cut unnecessary overhead before your back is against the wall. This forward-looking habit gives you the breathing room needed to run your business with confidence. Next, you can turn this month-by-month forecasting into a highly practical weekly cash timeline routine. Each week, you map out your expected customer receipts, vendor payments, payroll, debt service, inventory needs, and owner draws in precise sequence. This hands-on habit ensures that you always know exactly where your bank balance will stand in 7, 14, and 21 days. By mastering these basic flows, you build a rock-solid operational foundation. This foundation prepares you to evaluate larger, long-term strategic investments. Then you can turn this cash flow engine into a formal investment evaluation tool, using discounted cash flows and net present value to score your biggest ideas. Moving from the qualitative clarity of a single-page decision dossier to the quantitative precision of capital budgeting marks a critical milestone in your journey as an owner. When you face choices that require committing significant cash or exhausting your borrowing capacity, simple rules of thumb are no longer enough to protect your business. You must step beyond qualitative sheets and enter the realm of formal financial analysis. According to financial education guidelines published in the United States in 2024, structured capital analysis helps business owners defend their operations from uncalculated risk. This transition does not aim to complicate your life or drown you in academic spreadsheets. Rather, it gives you the exact tools needed to evaluate options with rigorous clarity. At the heart of this quantitative transition lies the concept of discounted cash flow. This is the deliberate process of translating your expected future cash flows into present-day value. It answers a fundamental question. What is a stream of income that will arrive months or years from now actually worth to your business today? Inflation, opportunity cost, and the simple risk of the unknown make future cash less valuable. A dollar you expect to collect in 3 years is inherently worth less than a dollar resting in your bank account right now. By discounting future receipts, you bring all your future cash projections back to a common starting point. This allows you to make fair, direct comparisons between projects that have completely different timelines. To make this calculation practical, you must master net present value. Net present value is simply the difference between the present value of your expected benefits and the present value of your expected costs. It acts as a financial filter, stripping away the distorting effects of time to show you the true net worth of an investment in today's money. When you calculate net present value, you examine the net financial impact of a decision. This means accounting for the time value of money and the cost of capital required to fund it. It serves as a reliable measure of whether a project will actually make your company richer or poorer over the long run. The central net present value rule is straightforward. A positive net present value adds real wealth to your business, while a negative net present value subtracts it. If your calculation yields a result above zero, the investment is expected to cover its costs, satisfy your required rate of return, and create additional value. If the result is below zero, the investment will likely drain your resources. When the calculation hovers near zero, the decision requires much closer attention to underlying risks, alternative choices, and your own operational capacity. While this analysis provides educational guidance rather than personalized financial advice, it serves as a reliable benchmark to filter out low-value distractions. To put this principle into action, you can follow a systematic 6-step net present value workflow that keeps your analysis disciplined and repeatable. You begin by clearly defining the investment decision you are facing, which isolates it from other operational distractions. Next, you identify the incremental cash flows that will occur solely because of this specific choice. Estimating the exact timing of when these cash flows enter and leave your bank account represents the next critical step. From there, you select a risk-aware discount rate that reflects your financial reality and use it to calculate the present value of all projected flows. Finally, comparing your options side by side allows you to make your choice with complete clarity and prevents you from skipping crucial analytical steps. Choosing the right discount rate is a critical step in this process, and it should always be based on your unique financial reality rather than generic industry benchmarks. Your discount rate represents the hurdle that an investment must clear, and it should reflect your actual borrowing costs, the risk of the project, and your opportunity cost. If you have high interest debt outstanding at 12%, any new investment you make must yield a return higher than that 12% to be logical. Alternatively, if you could reliably earn 8% by expanding an existing proven service line, that 8% becomes the opportunity cost you must beat. Your discount rate is a dynamic reflection of your business's capital environment, not a static number pulled from a textbook. At the absolute core of this analysis are incremental cash flows, which are the only financial movements that belong in your investment model. Incremental cash flows are the specific, measurable changes in your cash position that occur strictly as a direct result of your decision. If a cash inflow or outflow will happen regardless of whether you make the investment, you must completely exclude it from your calculation. For instance, your existing rent and utility bills are fixed obligations that do not change when you buy a new piece of software. Therefore, they have no place in the analysis. This focus on incremental changes ensures you are evaluating the project on its own merits, rather than confusing its performance with your existing overhead. To keep your incremental analysis clean, you must learn to ruthlessly ignore sunk costs. Sunk costs are past expenditures that have already occurred and cannot be recovered regardless of what choice you make today. It is a common psychological trap to throw good money after bad simply because you have already invested heavily in a failed project, a broken piece of equipment, or an unproductive marketing channel. You might feel a strong emotional urge to justify that past spending by continuing to invest in it. However, your past spending should never control your future-facing investment choices. Only the future costs and future benefits of your next step matter, and any money already spent is gone forever. To see how these concepts function, let us walk through an illustrative hypothetical contractor case. Imagine you own a local trade business and are considering purchasing an additional service van to expand your capacity. The purchase cost of the van, along with diagnostic tools, shelving, and initial branding, requires an initial cash outlay of $45,000. If you decide to finance a portion of this purchase, your monthly loan payments must be factored into your ongoing cash outflows. However, the van is not just a cost. It represents an active platform designed to generate additional revenue. To evaluate this purchase properly, you must estimate the incremental cash flows it will produce. In this illustrative example, you project that adding the van will allow your business to complete 3 additional service calls per week, with an average ticket price of $350. Over a standard 50-week working year, this adds $52,500 in gross revenue. From this gross number, you must subtract the direct operating costs of running the van, including fuel, commercial insurance, scheduled maintenance, and the salary of the technician. You must also consider whether you have the excess technician capacity to run the van, or if you will need to spend money recruiting and hiring a new employee. Finally, you estimate that you can sell the van for $10,000 at the end of its 5-year useful life, which represents a final positive cash inflow. While this simple projection looks highly profitable on paper, the real-world timing of your cash flows can dramatically change the net present value of this same investment. If your trade business operates in an industry where customers routinely take 60 or 90 days to pay their invoices, your cash inflows will lag far behind your upfront expenses. You must pay for fuel, insurance, and the technician's wages every single week, but you may not collect the cash from those service calls for 3 months. Furthermore, if your business experiences a sharp seasonal decline during the winter months, your van may sit idle for 12 weeks, producing zero revenue while still accumulating insurance and financing costs. These timing delays can easily turn a seemingly profitable project into a dangerous drain on your working capital. To guard against these cash flow delays, many owners rely on the payback period as a simple first-pass screening question. The payback period measures exactly how long it takes for an investment to recover its initial cash outlay from the net cash inflows it generates. If your new service van costs $45,000 and generates $15,000 in net cash flow each year, your simple payback period is exactly 3 years. This is a highly intuitive metric that helps you gauge how long your capital will be exposed to risk before you break even. It is particularly useful for businesses with limited cash reserves that cannot afford to lock up their capital for extended periods. However, you must remain acutely aware of the severe limitations of the payback period. It completely ignores any cash flows that occur after the recovery date. If the service van continues to generate $15,000 a year for another 5 years after it pays for itself, the payback period calculation does not capture that wealth. Furthermore, the payback period does not account for the time value of money, treating a dollar received in year three as identical to a dollar spent in year one. Relying solely on this metric can lead you to reject highly profitable, long-term projects in favor of quick-returning, low-value options. To solve these timing issues, you can turn to the internal rate of return, which is commonly referred to as the IRR. The internal rate of return is defined as the specific discount rate that makes the net present value of a project equal to exactly zero. In other words, it represents the break-even interest rate of your investment. It translates the complex stream of future cash flows into a single, intuitive annual percentage return that you can easily compare to your borrowing costs or your target hurdle rate. It answers the simple question of what percentage return your capital is generating when it is locked up in a specific project. The practical appeal of the internal rate of return is undeniable for busy small business owners. It provides a simple, familiar percentage that allows you to quickly compare wildly different projects. For instance, you might choose between purchasing a new computer system with an expected return of 18% or upgrading warehouse lighting for a return of 12%. Your mind naturally gravitates toward the higher percentage. It gives you a clear, universal language to evaluate where your capital will work the hardest. This makes it an incredibly popular tool for screening initial ideas and presenting projects to partners or lenders. Despite its popularity, the internal rate of return suffers from several structural flaws, starting with the scale problem. A small project, such as purchasing an illustrative $300 diagnostic tool, can show an incredibly high internal rate of return of 80%. However, that tool might only generate an absolute net benefit of $500 over its life. In contrast, expanding your physical service bay might carry a much lower internal rate of return of 15%. But because of its scale, it might create $50,000 in total net cash. If you blindly prioritize the higher percentage return, you will leave a massive amount of absolute wealth on the table. The timing of your cash flows introduces another major complication, often called the timing problem. If you compare two projects with different cash flow patterns, they can rank completely differently under the internal rate of return and the net present value methods. A project that generates large, rapid cash inflows in its first year will often show a higher internal rate of return. This occurs because the math assumes those early inflows can be immediately reinvested at that same rate. Conversely, a project that starts slowly but generates massive, steady cash flows in later years may actually create far more total wealth, resulting in a higher net present value. You must also watch out for the multiple rate problem, which occurs when a project's cash flows change signs more than once over its life. In a typical investment, you have a negative cash outflow at the beginning, followed by a series of positive cash inflows. But if you must invest a large sum in year three to rebuild a machine, your cash flows shift back to negative. Mathematically, this pattern can produce multiple valid internal rates of return. This leaves you with two or three conflicting percentages and no clear guidance on how to proceed. These mathematical quirks highlight the general fragility of projected returns in any small business model. Your final calculations are highly sensitive to your inputs, and small changes in your core assumptions can produce wild swings in the results. For instance, if your customer growth rate is slightly lower than expected, your gross margin could shrink by 2%. If technician utilization drops or customers delay payments by just 2 weeks, your highly profitable project can quickly turn into a devastating cash drain. This high sensitivity means you must treat your baseline projections as educated estimates rather than absolute guarantees.
To see this dynamic in action, let us look at another illustrative hypothetical comparison case. Imagine you are choosing between purchasing a high-percentage minor tool and undertaking a lower-percentage service bay expansion. The specialty tool costs $2,000, with an estimated internal rate of return of 50%. It generates $1,000 of incremental cash flow each year for 3 years. At the same time, you are considering expanding your physical service bay for $50,000. This expansion has a lower internal rate of return of 14%, but it is projected to generate $15,000 in net cash flow every year for 5 years.
By calculating the absolute net present value with a conservative 8% discount rate, you discover the minor tool adds about $580 in present-day value. Meanwhile, the service bay expansion adds nearly $10,000. This clear contrast reveals how you should resolve conflicts between the internal rate of return and net present value. When capital is not severely constrained, you must always give priority to absolute value creation rather than percentage returns. The service bay expansion creates far more absolute cash and long-term stability for your business, despite its lower percentage return. Your bank account does not hold percentages. It holds actual dollars. By focusing on net present value, you ensure that you are making choices that maximize the total tangible wealth of your business. To protect your business from the danger of overly optimistic forecasts, you must systematically stress test your core assumptions. Instead of relying on a single perfect projection, you should force your model to run under harsh, realistic conditions. Calculate what happens to your net present value if customer demand is 30% slower than your baseline forecast, or if your material costs rise by 10%. Explore the impact if your average customer collection period stretches from 30 days to 60 days. Consider also what happens if your equipment experiences an earlier failure that cuts its useful life short. This disciplined practice helps you identify the exact breaking points of your investment before you commit your capital. Building these scenario ranges provides a far stronger foundation for decision-making than relying on a single fragile forecast. By mapping out a best case, an expected case, and a worst case scenario, you can clearly see the boundaries of your financial risk. If your worst case scenario still keeps your net present value close to zero or only slightly negative, you can move forward with confidence, knowing the downside is manageable. If the worst case scenario reveals a devastating cash shortfall that would threaten your entire operation, you must either redesign the project to mitigate that risk or reject the investment entirely. To practice this disciplined approach in your daily operations, you can analyze your simple payback, expected useful life, incremental cash flows, and a rough net present value check. This equipment decision practice template allows you to evaluate any potential purchase with both speed and analytical rigor. By writing down these four dimensions on a single sheet of paper, you force yourself to balance simple speed with deep financial reality. This simple contrast balances the intuitive payback period against the time-aware accuracy of net present value. It ensures that every piece of machinery you buy and every technician you hire is mathematically positioned to build long-term wealth for your business. Now that you have built a powerful financial engine, you are ready to explore how these capital decisions connect directly with your customer economics and competitor reactions. Up to this point, your decisions have focused largely on internal capital, equipment, and cash flow management. However, even the most efficient internal operations will stall without a predictable stream of customer demand. To build a sustainable company, you must transition from managing internal assets to navigating the systems of customer behavior, acquisition channels, repeat purchasing patterns, and competitor responses. this shift requires you to view your business through the eyes of the marketplace.
You must understand that every dollar flowing into your bank account represents a customer choice to trust your business over your competitors.
You can map this customer journey by translating the traditional marketing funnel into practical language that you can run your business by. This journey is a sequence of six distinct stages: reach, interest, lead, purchase, repeat, and referral. Reach is the total number of local people who become aware that your shop or service exists. Interest occurs when those people pay closer attention to your offerings, perhaps by browsing your website or reading your local reviews. A lead is created when a prospect takes a direct action to contact you. This might mean calling on the phone, sending an email, or walking in to ask for a quote. The purchase stage is the critical moment when a lead officially becomes a paying customer by exchanging their money for your service. Repeat behavior represents those customers who return to buy from you again. And referral is when they actively recommend your business to their friends, neighbors, and family. To manage this funnel effectively, you must measure the conversion rate at each transition point. This metric represents the share of prospective customers who move from one stage to the next. For example, imagine 100 people visit your website to show interest. If 10 of them fill out a contact form to become a lead, your conversion rate from interest to lead is exactly 10%. Tracking these conversion rates allows you to pinpoint precisely where your marketing is succeeding and where you are losing potential revenue. If your reach is high, but your conversion rate to active leads is low, you know your messaging is not matching customer needs. Conversely, if your lead-to-purchase conversion rate is low, your sales process or pricing structure may need refinement. According to a consumer marketing study published in 2024 in the United States, tracking client acquisition pathways reveals the true cost of business growth. Once you understand how prospects move through your funnel, you can calculate your customer acquisition cost. This represents the total amount of money you spend to win a single new customer. To find this metric, you divide your total sales and marketing spend over a specific time frame by the number of new customers you actually acquired during that same period. For instance, if you spend $1,000 on local advertisements in a month and secure 20 new customers, your customer acquisition cost is exactly $50 per customer. This guide is for educational purposes rather than individualized financial advice. You should always consider your own circumstances or consult a fiduciary. Knowing this figure prevents you from overspending on channels that fail to produce a healthy return. It ensures that every dollar you invest in growth is tied to a measurable result. To determine whether a $50 customer acquisition cost is a good deal for your business, you must compare it directly to your customer lifetime value. Customer lifetime value represents the total expected revenue or contribution margin that a customer will generate for your business over the entire duration of their relationship with you. To calculate this metric, you can use a practical formula that combines four key elements: your average purchase value, your purchase frequency, your average customer lifespan, and your profit margin. First, you multiply the average dollar amount of a single purchase by the number of times a customer buys from you in a single year. Next, you multiply that annual value by the average number of years a customer remains loyal to your business. Finally, you multiply that lifetime revenue by your gross contribution margin percentage, rather than your net profit margin, to find the actual profit a customer brings to your bottom line. While calculating a single blended average for your customer lifetime value is a useful starting point, relying solely on a single average can easily mask hidden opportunities and dangerous risks. To gain true strategic clarity, you must segment your lifetime value by specific customer groups, marketing channels, product lines, or geographic neighborhoods. For example, you might find that search ads yield an average customer lifetime value of $300. Meanwhile, clients acquired from local sponsorships might bring an average of $800. Breaking down your metrics this way shows exactly which customer cohorts are most profitable. This insight allows you to focus your limited resources on the specific channels and areas that generate the highest returns. Comparing your customer lifetime value directly to your customer acquisition cost provides a vital check on the underlying unit economics of your business. In many sectors, a ratio of 3-to-1 is widely cited as the baseline benchmark for sustainable, healthy growth. This means the lifetime value of a customer should be at least 3 times what you spent to acquire them. In recurring revenue contexts, such as subscription services, gyms, or maintenance contracts, higher ratios of 4-to-1 or more are common and indicate exceptional acquisition efficiency. If your ratio falls below 3-to-1, it means you are spending too much to win customers who do not buy enough. Alternatively, your margins may simply be too thin to support your marketing habits. This simple ratio acts as an early warning system, helping you evaluate whether your growth is truly profitable or if you are simply buying revenue at a loss. To round out your unit economics, you must also calculate your customer acquisition cost payback period. This metric measures the exact amount of time required for the gross margin dollars generated by a new customer to fully recover the cost you incurred to acquire them. If it costs $50 to win a customer, and that customer generates $25 of gross profit each month, your payback period is exactly 2 months. For businesses with tight cash reserves, keeping this payback period as short as possible is critical for survival. A long payback period means your precious capital remains locked up in marketing expenses for months. This delay can easily trigger a severe cash flow crisis, even if your business is growing rapidly on paper. To stay ahead of these cash flow shifts, you must learn to balance leading funnel signals with lagging financial results. Leading signals are the early, forward-looking indicators of customer interest, such as incoming phone calls, website form fills, estimate bookings, and initial product inquiries. Lagging signals are the historical, unchangeable records of completed actions, such as finalized invoices, collected payments, and repeat customer transactions. If your incoming phone calls and form fills drop off sharply this week, you can expect your completed invoices and cash collections to experience a matching decline next month. By watching these leading indicators daily, you can spot downward trends early enough to adjust your operations. You do not have to wait for an empty bank account to tell you that you have a problem. To see how these funnel metrics guide your real-world choices, consider an illustrative comparison of an appointment-based business deciding between 2 different marketing options. Imagine you own a local service company and are choosing whether to invest $5,000 in a website overhaul or $5,000 in targeted local advertising. The advertising campaign is projected to generate 100 new leads quickly, with an expected conversion rate of 20%, resulting in 20 new customers. If your average service ticket is $300 with a 50% gross margin, these 20 customers generate $6,000 in total revenue. This translates to $3,000 in gross margin. These customers are unlikely to buy again without ongoing ads. Consequently, your initial payback period on this $5,000 investment is incomplete, leaving you with a net loss on the campaign. In contrast, the website overhaul is projected to generate a slower but far more durable stream of leads by improving your organic local search ranking. In this illustrative scenario, the new website brings in 10 new leads per month for 2 years. Cleaner user experiences push the conversion rate to 25%. This consistent flow results in 30 new customers in the first year alone. If these customers have a 40% repeat rate, they will return for a second service within the same year. This pattern pushes the average ticket value and total margin higher. Over 24 months, the website overhaul yields a far higher customer lifetime value. It recovers its initial $5,000 cost within 9 months.
This structured comparison shows how shifting from simple lead counts to long-term funnel economics helps you protect your capital from short-sighted investments.
As this comparison highlights, keeping the customers you already have is often far more profitable than constantly hunting for new ones. The previously cited marketing study reveals a powerful financial lever. A simple 5% improvement in customer retention can raise profits by 25 to 95%, depending on your business model. This dramatic surge occurs because repeat customers cost almost nothing to acquire and buy more frequently. They are less sensitive to price increases and act as a natural local referral network. Shifting even a small portion of your attention and budget away from aggressive acquisition and toward customer satisfaction can yield massive, compounding financial rewards.
You can build this high retention model in your own local business by implementing a few structured, practical mechanisms. These do not require expensive corporate software, but rather a disciplined focus on customer experience and consistent communication. First, you must ensure your core service quality is exceptional, as no marketing campaign can save a business with poor execution. Second, you can implement proactive reminders, such as automated text messages or emails, to prompt past customers to book their next seasonal service. Third, you can offer memberships or recurring subscriptions that turn one-time transactions into predictable monthly cash flow.
Finally, you can introduce simple loyalty programs or foster community ties through local events. Structured outreach campaigns can also reconnect with clients who have not visited your shop in several months.
To find the exact retention and acquisition strategies that work best for your unique market, you should run structured, low-risk business experiments rather than relying on guesswork. An experiment starts with a clear, written hypothesis, such as predicting that sending a seasonal reminder text will increase bookings by 10%. Next, you define the specific customer group you will test and set a strict 2-week boundary. You then choose clear success metrics, like total bookings and the net margin generated. Crucially, you must preserve a baseline for comparison. Keeping a control group that receives no message helps prove your results were caused by the promotion, rather than natural seasonal demand.
Evaluating these experiments requires you to think in terms of expected value under uncertainty, which helps you favor choices with low downside risks, affordable costs, and meaningful upside potential. Instead of trying to predict the future with absolute certainty, you estimate the likelihood of different outcomes and multiply them by their financial impact. If a test has a high probability of succeeding and carries a minimal upfront cost, it represents an exceptional opportunity to learn without risking your core capital. Keeping test sizes small ensures that even a complete failure will not damage your weekly cash flow. This allows you to run multiple experiments and gradually discover profitable strategies.
To see how this functions in practice, imagine running an illustrative 2-week promotional test for a local home service company. Your hypothesis is that offering a $20 discount on an initial maintenance visit will boost new bookings and lead to high-margin repeat business. You limit the promotion to a single geographic postal code for exactly 14 days, allocating a small budget of $500 for targeted local mailers. To measure success, you track the incremental bookings, the exact margin per job after subtracting the discount, and the number of customers who book a follow-up appointment. Suppose the test generates 10 bookings, but your margin per job per trapped too low to cover the advertisement cost.
If none of those clients schedule a repeat visit, you have valuable proof. This discount strategy is unsustainable before you launch it citywide.
This promotional test highlights the critical, unbreakable connection between your marketing funnel and your daily operations. A sudden surge in new leads is only valuable if your business actually has the capacity, quality control, and cash collection systems to handle the added volume.
If a campaign succeeds, but quality breaks under a double workload, you will drive away valuable clients. Late arrivals and sloppy execution destroy long-term customer relationships. Furthermore, your collection system might take 60 days to secure payment, while you pay staff weekly. This timing mismatch means a spike in bookings can trigger a severe cash crisis.
True business mastery means scaling your marketing funnel in perfect harmony with your operational capacity.
As you align your internal operations with your marketing funnel, you must also recognize that your business does not operate in a vacuum. Your local competitors are watching your moves, and their reactions can dramatically impact your financial success. To navigate these competitive dynamics, you can use basic game theory as a powerful strategic lens. Game theory is simply the study of strategic interaction among independent decision makers. It is highly applicable to local markets where prices, promotions, capacity moves, and service positioning are visible to everyone. By learning to think two steps ahead, you can anticipate how your competitors will respond to your choices, helping you avoid costly strategic blunders and identify sustainable paths to profitability. The foundation of any competitive game consists of three core components: players, strategies, and payoffs. In your local market, the players are your own business and the direct competitors operating in your service area. The strategies are the actions you can choose to take. These include raising or lowering prices, investing in equipment, extending your hours, or launching a new advertising schedule. The payoffs are the financial and operational outcomes that result from these combined choices, measured in gross margin, customer volume, and long-term market share. Recognizing that your payoff is always dependent on the strategy your competitor chooses is the first step toward true strategic awareness. Every major move you make in your local market has the potential to trigger an immediate, calculated response from your competitors. For example, if you decide to extend your operating hours to include weekends, your competitors may feel forced to match your hours to protect their market share. If you launch an aggressive advertising campaign in their core neighborhood, they might respond by doubling their own local ad spend. Before committing your hard-earned capital, ask yourself how your competitors are likely to react. Consider how long they will take to respond and where the market will settle into a new competitive balance. To visualize these interactions, you can construct a verbal payoff matrix to evaluate competitive pricing decisions. Imagine an illustrative market with only two major service providers, where each business must decide whether to hold their prices steady or launch a deep discount. If both you and your competitor hold your prices steady, you both maintain your current customer volume and enjoy healthy, predictable gross margins. If you discount your prices while your competitor holds steady, you temporarily win a large volume of their customers. This results in a revenue spike, but lowers your margin per job. If your competitor responds by matching your discount, you both end up serving the exact same number of customers as before. Now you are both forced to operate with dangerously thin margins. This competitive trap represents a classic Nash equilibrium. Under this dynamic, no player can improve their position by changing their strategy alone, given what their competitors are doing. Once both businesses lower prices to chase market share, neither can raise them back to normal without losing all their customers. They remain stuck unless they find a way to break the cycle. Understanding this concept helps you see why competitive price wars are so incredibly destructive for small businesses. It highlights the absolute necessity of avoiding commoditization. Competing on price alone almost always leads to a stable, low-margin trap that drains the wealth of every business involved. You can protect your business from these destructive price wars by focusing your energy on differentiation and exceptional service quality rather than simple discounts. When you offer a service that is clearly superior, highly personalized, or backed by a unique guarantee,
you make it incredibly difficult for competitors to copy your value proposition. Customers are often willing to pay a premium for reliability, speed, clear communication, and peace of mind, which shields your pricing structure from competitor moves. By building your brand on tangible value rather than the lowest price, you create a loyal customer base. This resistance shields you from competitor discounts and maintains your gross margins. To build this differentiated position, you must start with a disciplined, ongoing competitive analysis. This process does not require hiring expensive consultants, but rather answering a few basic, factual questions about your local market. First, clearly define your target customers. Identify both your direct competitors, who offer the same service, and your indirect competitors, who solve the same problem in a different way. Next, you systematically track their visible prices, service promises, marketing channels, and observable positioning. Mapping these elements on a single sheet of paper helps you quickly spot gaps in the market. You can then identify underserved neighborhoods or widespread customer complaints that you can solve. To bring all of these moving parts together into a single actionable plan, you can integrate your financial forecasts, marketing funnel metrics, and competitive analyses into a unified decision dossier. This one-page document serves as your ultimate management compass, forcing you to look at every major choice through three distinct lenses at the exact same time. It ensures that you never make a financial decision without considering its impact on customer acquisition costs. Similarly, you never launch campaigns without estimating competitor responses. By keeping this dossier strictly to a single page, you build a fast, highly practical routine that protects your business from emotional blind spots and uncalculated risks. To see the power of this integrated approach, consider a capstone illustrative case study of a local trade company considering an expansion. Imagine you own a service business and are evaluating whether to hire a new technician while simultaneously increasing your monthly lead spend by $2,000. The new technician will cost $4,000 a month in fixed salary, meaning your total monthly cash outflows will increase by $6,000. To evaluate this decision properly, you cannot look at cash flow alone. You must model how the increased lead spend flows through your marketing funnel. This means estimating the customer acquisition cost, the expected customer lifetime value, and onboarding timelines. Using your integrated decision dossier, you project that the $2,000 in monthly ad spend will generate 40 new leads, converting at 25% to produce 10 new customers. If your customer lifetime value is $800 with a 50% gross margin, these 10 new customers will eventually bring in $4,000 in monthly gross profit. However, your cash flow model reveals a severe 3-month lag between the upfront marketing spend, the technician's payroll, and the actual collection of customer payments. Furthermore, competitive analysis suggests your main local rival may launch a matching promotion. This reaction could temporarily depress your conversion rate to 20%. Testing these variables reveals that while the expansion is profitable long-term, it will drain $12,000 of cash reserves before reaching a positive payback period. Armed with this comprehensive range of insights, your decision dossier allows you to turn a simple yes or no guess into a range of operational recommendations. Instead of blindly proceeding with the full expansion and risking a sudden cash crisis, or rejecting the growth opportunity entirely out of fear, you can choose from several smart alternatives. You can decide to proceed with the hire, but delay the increased marketing spend until your cash reserves are stronger. You can reduce the scope of the project by hiring a part-time technician first. You can test the marketing funnel for 2 weeks before committing to a permanent salary. Alternatively, you might finance the expansion using credit or reject the project entirely.
The final, critical step in your decision loop is to systematically review your past choices by comparing your actual operational results against the original assumptions in your dossier. 6 months after making a major decision, sit down with your actual cash flow statements and conversion rates. Compare customer retention figures and observed competitor moves to your initial forecasts. This disciplined review process is not about self-blame if things went wrong, but about refining your judgment and improving your forecasting accuracy over time. Suppose your actual customer acquisition cost was higher than expected, or a competitor responded aggressively.
You can feed these real-world lessons back into your next dossier to improve your forecasting.
To turn this powerful framework into an immediate habit, you can implement a simple first-week practice plan in your business tomorrow morning. Select just one real-world hiring, pricing, equipment, or promotional decision that you are currently facing in your operations. Before committing a single dollar of your capital or spending hours of your time, sit down with a blank sheet of paper and complete your first one-page qualitative decision dossier. Map out your expected incremental cash flows and estimate your acquisition cost. List the leading funnel signals you will track and write down the most likely competitor response. This simple exercise takes less than 30 minutes. It instantly brings the analytical power of an elite business administration framework down to a practical scale to protect your capital. As this small business guide comes to a close, reflect on the complete journey you have taken to transform your decision-making. We began by reframing your daily operational choices as a systematic six-step decision loop designed to move your company away from reactive survival and towards structured, confident judgment. You learned to separate unchangeable historical facts from forward-looking estimates, using a single-page qualitative dossier to clarify everyday trade-offs. We then explored the critical difference between accounting profit and cash flow. Mastering the cash conversion cycle and month-by-month forecasting ensures your business bank account remains resilient. From there, you turned your cash flow engine into a formal financial tool, mastering discounted cash flows, net present value, and the internal rate of return. You discovered why absolute wealth creation must always take priority over simple percentage returns. You also learned to find the breaking points of your investments before committing capital. Finally, you turned your focus outward to the market, translating the local marketing funnel into practical owner metrics like customer acquisition cost, lifetime value, and payback periods.
You learned to run low-risk business experiments, navigate competitive dynamics using basic game theory, and integrate finance, funnel metrics, and competitor reactions into a single, unified decision dossier. By applying these robust analytical frameworks to your daily choices, you are no longer gambling on the future of your company. Instead, you are building a structured, resilient, and highly profitable business designed to endure.
This concludes the audiobook narration. Thank you for listening.